Live from Next Gen Studios, this is The Sports Page.
Hello, everyone. We are back, finally. This is The Sports Page on Next Gen Media. I'm your host, Ashton. And on this episode, we are talking fantasy football. And my guest tonight is not only an expert on the subject, but I believe he is one of the best of the best. Please help me welcome pro football player Chris Robb Jr. What's going on, Chris?
How you doing there? Everything all right?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. Like I said, we're talking fantasy football, and I actually have one of my drafts coming up here in about 5 minutes. I thought it'd be kind of fun to draft while we were doing a show.
Absolutely. That's the perfect idea.
Yeah, and hopefully I can pay enough attention to it. This is a money league, which
– Oh, yeah.
I've realized the last couple of years I'm only doing money leagues that I pay to get into. I didn't realize that until my wife asked me about it. She's like, you rarely ever win. Although I did win money last year. I got second place. But she's like, really? Do you ever win? And I said, well, first of all, I don't think of it as gambling. If I win, great, if I get money. But I'm paying for the privilege to play in a competitive league. Because when you play in the free leagues, you don't even know who you're playing. Half the teams don't even keep up their lineup for their roster throughout the year, updating their lineup. So it's just not any fun. But how many leagues are you in this year?
I am in two. They're both money leagues. And, you know, I agree 100%. It's, you know, people, whenever they're in money leagues, they just care a whole lot more than whenever it's just like fun. So you know, like everyone's like, you know, asking for trades and just fighting for draft spots. So you know, I definitely understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, cause not only are the people more than likely more talented, unless they just, or say more talented, but know what they're doing a little bit more and keep up with it, but as you said, they have skins in the game. They're more active and they're doing things. And I've noticed when you are in leagues, like most leagues where you can propose a trade, and if the person accepts a trade, then everybody has to vote on it.
Right.
There's an ad just popped up. So if everybody just heard that, I apologize. Mm-hmm. I know you didn't hear that, but everybody has to vote on whether to veto or approve the trade. And it's funny, I notice when you're in a paid league where people really care, there's always somebody that's against it. They don't care. They're going to voice their opinion, and which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah,
it's have everybody involved, at least until I know there are people the last couple of weeks who, if they're out of it, they're not really updating their lineup.
Right.
But I was in a league, I don't know if it was last year or the year before. I know COVID's kind of screwed everything up. But one league I was in, you paid $50 to get in. And then they had winners for the first, second, and third place. But last place had to agree to pay $25 more.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, if it was the consolation. You know when you're in the consolation bracket?
Right,
it's whoever loses. But it's not necessarily the worst record, but whoever loses in the 2 weeks of the consolation bracket. So it really made everybody active the entire year. So it's not like, okay, the last couple of weeks you have, you know, the teams that are out of it, you're kind of thinking, okay, that's an easy win. No, they're trying to beat you just so they can help their seeding out in the consolation bracket. It makes it all more, a lot more competitive.
Yeah, that's smart. I never really realized, like, you know, like making a, okay, if you're last in the league, then you have to pay. So no one wants to be last in the league. So everyone wants to, you know, compete. That's actually a smart idea. Never thought of that.
Yeah, and I started a league with one of my friends years ago, and our idea is we wanted to keep it going with the same people. And there was about four or five of us that stayed in it every year, but we wanted to do a keeper league where you could keep two or three players. But the problem is there were only about five of us that did it from year to year. So we were trying to say, okay, well, we'll get somebody else this year and they'll inherit this team. And then they get to keep players from that team. And it didn't work out really well. especially when you were trying to convince somebody to pay, I think we were doing $50 or $60. Mm-hmm. And that kind of fizzled out the last couple of years. We just weren't able to keep it going with just a few people doing it because we wanted the same people year in and year out. And I proposed that the 2 or 3 years ago, whenever the last year we did that right. league, and nobody liked it. They're like, I'm just going to put my money in. If I lose, I don't feel like I lost money because I paid it months ago. Right. But they didn't want to be that team that had to pay an extra $25 after they lost.
Yeah.
And that noise you just heard was the 2 minute. Oh, no, that's the start of the draft.
Oh, okay.
First person picking. I'm picking eighth, by the way.
Oh, so you're picking eighth. Okay.
Yeah, you'll probably. Yeah,
so you're gonna be around the Travis Kelce range or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, well, it's already to the fourth pick. This is going quick. First couple of rounds are always the easiest.
Yeah.
It's when you get to, like, the last few players, you're like, I don't even know who these people are. You're just trying to guess.
Yeah, I kind of have a feel of who's, like, you know, left. I feel like, you know, me personally, I get a lot of receivers, and I try to, you know, get as much, you know, like, as many running backs as I can. But, you know, especially, like, you know, like, bye week purposes and certain like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Because you never know. Like, I remember last year I was drafting, and basically half my team was on a bye, and I didn't even realize that. I was like, okay, well, let me go to the free agency and try to scrape something up, try to make something happen. But, yeah.
And that's where it happens. You can have a really good draft night, but it's all about – what you do throughout the year
mm-hmm.
is picking up those running backs and receivers that had some good games, and you snag them up before anybody else does, or when a big player gets injured and you go grab their backup or something like that. But yeah, I'm right. big on running backs. Unless everybody else kind of dictates the draft, my first two picks are going to be running backs. I can get a quarterback later on. But you have right. to field all these running backs. Plus, you have to worry about the bye week, and they're going to average more points, or get more points on average per game, depending on what kind of scoring league you're in. But in general, running backs are going to be the more valuable ones. But like you said, one guy picks a quarterback in the first or second round, and people panic and start thinking the quarterbacks are going off. And
mm-hmm.
so yeah, what I said I was picking eighth. What position in the draft do you prefer? And it's my turn.
It depends on what kind of draft it is. If it's a snake, I would want one where I can get, like, you know, back-to-back picks. Like I said, I drafted first in one of my leagues. I drafted Christian McCaffrey only because I feel like he's going to have a breakout year. In my other league, I drafted third or fourth. I think I drafted fourth. And I picked Patrick Mahomes. So it's like, it's kind of different. It's different for me because I feel like Patrick Mahomes is kind of like a wild card in the sense where he can, like, you know, he's going to get points regardless.
And absolutely. I yeah.
Yeah.
And that,
I need, yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. And that's where the difference is. You have Patrick Mahomes, you can make a case for a couple other quarterbacks, but really after the first two or three quarterbacks, it's kind of a drop off where if you get fifth or sixth best quarterback all the way to 10th fantasy points talking, it's not a huge difference. So yeah, you could splurge on a first round pick for Patrick Mahomes for sure. Yeah. But that's why I don't try to rush and get there because I just feel like I need that running back that's going to last me all year. That's going to be, like, he's guaranteed he's going to get me 20, 30 points and really be the anchor. Like, I'd much rather just hold back. And it really depends how many teams you have drafting. In this league I'm doing right now, there's 12 teams, so it's a little bit harder. But a lot of teams, when you're in an 8-team league, you can wait for a long time to get a quarterback because you're going to get a top 10 quarterback regardless because there's only 8 teams in the league.
Right.
And on my first pick, I got Aaron Jones.
That's not a bad pick. That's not a bad pick at all. He's definitely gonna get touches.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was top five in some. I know, like, whenever I was drafting, he was like top five in, you know, some of the fantasy draft projection. So I was like, you know, like, okay, yeah. Aaron, no, but that's a really good pick, especially at 8. That's a really good pick.
Yeah. And going back to that draft position, I know I typically like to be middle of the road right there just because there's not so many picks. I'm going to get DeAndre Hopkins. So like right now it's telling me 14 picks until your turn, which isn't terrible in a 12-team draft. But when you pick first overall, you do get your pick. You pick whoever you want. And then you have to, depending on, you know, if this is a 12-team draft, you have 23 spots or 22 spots. And so you get to pick again. But you do get back-to-back picks. So that's the benefit of being the first or the last pick in a snake draft. You do get back-to-back picks. Although you have to wait a while till you get to your picks.
Right.
But yeah, you really have to watch that bye week. I just drafted and wasn't even thinking. The first couple of ones, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I feel like, at the beginning, it's like you just got to get whoever. But then at some point, you have to be like, okay, yeah. they got a bye week week 7. Okay. My other, you know, receiver has a bye week week 7 or something like that. Then you got to, like, you know, then you got to adjust. But, you know, who'd you say you had a second pick?
DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, you're off to a pretty good start, man. Yeah. Are you in a PPR league?
Yeah, PPR league.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're definitely off to a good start.
Yeah, we've hit that null now. All the picks were going in a few seconds, and now people are using the clock up. Now we're in the third round.
See, I like that. I like that type of draft because, you know, everyone's engaged because the drafts I were in, there were probably like 3 or 4 people that weren't even drafting. It was just auto draft, which I hate. But, you know, it's one of those things you just got to wait it out.
Yeah, you hate it because you can – I mean, although I guess strategy-wise, it's not a terrible thing because you can look over, okay, there's 5 people on auto draft, so I know the top 5 people. You know, before it gets to me, they're going to be gone no matter what because it's going to pick the top player. So you know I have no chance of getting those. But when everybody's engaged, you're looking at the top player. You may be 3 or 4 picks away. Like, maybe I can get them. You know, this guy still needs a receiver. But there's a lot of – I really like that. It's like we're all kind of – even though this is online, I have another league I'm in that we're going to do in person in a couple of weeks. But – or, no, maybe next week. But this one, although it's online, it feels like we're all kind of collectively doing it because everybody's logged in right now. There's no – auto drafts. I'm sure there will be in the later round, but right now we're all doing pretty good. And yeah, they're using up almost all 2 minutes each pick.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, it's early, so you gotta like, you never really know. Some people have a plan. I never really have a plan for my fantasy team, so it's like I usually just try to pick the best players available and then try to make it work. That's how I've always been in, like, any sport, basketball, football. I'm like, okay, if I just get the best players and then just adjust them, we'll figure it out. So, you never know, like.
And I think fantasy football or fantasy sports in general are kind of like that, where it's more strategy, but it's so frustrating because you can have somebody just picking random players. They seem to do the best and they don't even know what they're doing. Or, you know, that when you're filling out brackets in March Madness time and, you know, you have your wife fill out one, or people just do it for fun to be part of it and they have no clue. They're picking based on mascots or whatever. And they, they do pretty good in the end. And you're like, I don't know what I was doing. And you're frustrated because you do all this research and you think you know a lot about sports. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're finishing 4th or 5th or you're like, man, I suck. I think in this particular league, I believe I finished last place in last year. And that's very rare for me. I'm always like, I don't win very often. I probably, in competitive leagues like this, I probably won once or twice in the last few years. Mm-hmm. But I'm always in the semifinals or the championship game, and I come close and I lose. It's very rare that I don't even remember what happened last year. I'll just chalk it up to COVID. And I'm keeping my eye on nobody's drafted any quarterbacks. Mahomes is still up there.
Last 3 years. I won last year, then the 2 years before that I lost in the semis both years. So it was like I was almost there, I don't know what I made. I don't know what adjustment I made because I drafted the same last year. But, you know, it's, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, like, you know, especially like in a PPR league, you just never know. Someone can get, just get a lot of catches when one game. But,
yeah. And you just really have to pay attention to the storylines. I know the year that the Brady was suspended the first four games, I just kept an eye on him, and he dropped way down. And so I just drafted him. I was like, I used a real late round pick on him, and I just figured I'll keep him on the bench for a few weeks. And it worked because I think I started out 1-3, put Brady in, and I lost one more game the rest of the season, went on and lost in the championship game. All from Brady. Yeah. I don't even remember what the quarterback I had starting, but I remember it didn't matter. I was going to put in Tom Brady in week five and see what happened, and he carried my team. And that's why I'm going to watch Deshaun Watson. I may see where he drops because there's a lot of unknowns around him. I don't know. I just read a story today that the Dolphins were the front runners to trade for him. And then if push comes to shove.
Wow. I didn't even realize that because I picked because Deshaun Watson is, I mean, obviously he's like, I think he's a top five quarterback in the league, but no one really knows what he's going through. So it's like, I mean.
Yeah. And I'm not going to waste a top pick on him, but I'm interested to see if he's going to drop because I don't know. He says he's not going to play if he's still in the Texans, but. Is he going to give up the money? Who knows? But it's interesting to see if I use a late round pick and he's still there, why not just use it on him? And
absolutely.
And if he plays, great, man. I just got a great, you know. And if he doesn't, you know, drop and pick up another receiver or running back. I mean, a lot of times, depending on what size league you have, a lot of guys don't even grab backup quarterbacks. They'll just wait, not use a roster spot. They'll wait till their bye week. And just pick somebody up just for 1 week.
Right. And Tom Brady's going really low in a lot of in all the leagues that I've been in. Like, I know this year he's been going really low. So I'm like, okay. I mean, he has a lot of weapons. I picked him up in the sixth round maybe. Because I'm like, okay, he has a lot of weapons.
Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking about Dak. I mean, whatever you think about how high Dak is up there, I mean, he's probably seventh or eighth. If you're just talking about pure skill of being a quarterback. But talking about fantasy numbers, he's probably a top five. Five best quarterback. Like talking fantasy numbers in general, just like Jameis Winston's probably pretty high up there too. Not quite top five, but a lot higher than he would be. In general,
as far as ranked quarterbacks,
exactly. And you talk about Dak, all the receivers he has. Now, it's questionable with his injury how that's going to pan out, how much they're going to let him go and let him throw and run and things like that when the season comes up. But that's, you know, you have to take your blinders off when you're drafting. In fantasy football, because things that you're thinking purely on fantasy points, it may look really good. And you may think, okay, he's a good quarterback on a bad team and has decent weapons. They have a terrible defense, just any quarterback, not Dak in particular, and think he's going to throw the ball a lot.
Right.
Like, yeah, he's not a top five quarterback, but maybe he's going to give you a lot of points in fantasy football. That's how I like to think about it. And then you have to look at, like you said, what weapons they have. You could look at Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or anybody. What receivers do they have? Because I'll tell you, I'm looking at right now, Dak Prescott on what Yahoo thinks is a higher graded pick than Russell Wilson. Like in general, would most people take Dak over Russell Wilson for their team in real life? Yeah. Probably not.
No.
But for fantasy football, why not?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Dak, so I'm kind of biased, but I mean, you know, his last healthy year he threw for close to 5,000 yards. So I mean,
Year he would have had 5,000 yards no problem if he wouldn't have gotten hurt.
He had like 2,000 within like, what was it, like 4 games, 5 games. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I would definitely pick Dak. And you know, he's a better quarterback than he's given credit for, because, you know, as the Cowboys quarterback, you know, you get a lot of scrutiny. But I love Dak, especially because, you know, he's the underdog story. He's drafted, what, 3rd, 4th round. So it's like, you know, he's not really even supposed to be where he's at. And, you know, I've always been a huge fan of Dak.
Yeah, and a lot of people will say, well, he had so many yards because they were behind earlier in the game. And, okay, yeah, I get that. It's just he had the ability to do it. Is he supposed to not do that because his team's behind? Whether it's his fault or Zeke's fault for fumbling, the defense's fault for giving up all the points, I don't know. But I may think about drafting Dak only because my team name I picked. See, I typically don't pick my team name till after the draft, but I was pressured into it. I was the only team in the league this morning when I checked that didn't have a team name.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was a little pressured into it, but I picked Baby Got Dak. So Wow. That's, yeah, it's kind of cheesy, but that's what fantasy football team names are, yeah, that's all what about.
Mine is Hyde and Zeke. So,
oh, that's a good one. There's someone on here called Zika Virus.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, mine's Hyde and Zeke. So, I understand completely. I don't even have Zeke on my team. That's the funny thing. I just love you know, the Cowboys, and I try to show love any way I can. You know, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how I do.
Yeah, and there's a lot of teams on here. There's Bad Juju on here. I'll see if they, you know, I might change my name if I don't get Dak. But I don't know. We'll see. It's not bad. I'm not that concerned about it. I know I am drafting a lot of receivers. It's just how it's falling. I have 1 running back and 3 receivers.
Oh, wow. Who are your 3?
So I got Allen Robinson II, DeAndre Hopkins, and Mike Evans.
Okay, yeah, I have
probably one of the best receiving cores I've had before, but typically I focus on running backs, but I have to skip a lot of players to draft running backs.
Yeah, I love picking receivers because I'm a receiver, so it's like I have Mike Evans and I have Allen Robinson. I think Allen Robinson is going to have an amazing year this year.
Yeah, I was skeptical about picking him that high. But there wasn't better. It depends who's going to – is Andy Dalton going to start the season? You know
– I think that's what they said. You know how that goes, though.
Like, yeah. Who knows? I mean, not that Andy Dalton's –
he'll probably start for 2 games, and then, you know, the Bears fans will be calling for Justin Fields. So I don't really know. I know Chicago is a huge, you know, sports town, especially when it comes to, like, the Bears. So I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, he had a really good year last year, and he had Trubisky and Nick Foles and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So,
yeah.
So surely he'll be pretty decent. And
he's good.
I might be able to get Dak. I still have 10 picks before mine. Man, I feel like I need to get a running back. But no, part of the strategy, though, is I have so many good receivers. Like, I may say screw it and just keep going. There was a guy I used to work with the last few years, and I'm in, even though I don't work there anymore, I'm still in that. That's the other fantasy football league I'm in. And he'll just say screw it. He'll just start drafting. If he didn't like who he's getting, he'll just draft a bunch of wide receivers or whatever he feels like he's heavy on, and then he'll go start trying to trade them. Because if he gets a lot of the good receivers, then there's a shortage somewhere. So I promise you, in a 12-team league with a receiving core like this, there's somebody out there,
hello,
one of these teams that's not going to – can you hear me?
Yeah.
There's going to be one of these teams that doesn't have a good receiver.
Yeah.
And they're going to – yeah, they're going to come hopefully knocking on my door trying to trade me a good running back.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I did, actually. I'm gonna look at my team really, really fast. I haven't even made any trades, though, as far as, you know, recently. I actually drafted Michael Thomas, you know, just because I feel like later in the season, I feel like he's going to be very effective. I just wanted him on my team because I'm in a PPR league, and
yeah,
he's definitely one of the best like PPR receivers like in the league, if not the best. So
yeah,
let's see who else I have.
Yeah, no, I mean, especially, and they just announced Jameis Winston was going to be the starting quarterback for the Saints, which I'm surprised it took that long. I mean, I'm not completely sold on Jameis Winston, but that's pretty bad for him that there had to be that long of a quarterback battle.
Yeah.
In New Orleans.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah, it's, you can say what you want about him, athletic or whatever, but you know the games he started when they didn't even throw it with him that much. It basically just used him in wildcat situation. That's almost how they ran their offense.
Right.
It was horrible. I mean, like they have so much confidence in him to be a quarterback, but when he's there, okay, he's the quarterback. They're not going to use him as a quarterback, which I don't think I would either. I mean, you know, but you've paid him so much money, I guess you have to do something with him.
Right. Yeah, I like Jameis. You know, I think he's probably a top, probably 10 quarterback in college football history, if not higher. So it's like, you know, and he I know he had a lot of interceptions, but he also threw for, 5,000 and like 30 touchdowns in Tampa. So I'm like, okay, I mean, like he's not a bad quarterback. It's just, I guess getting him in the right position. And Drew, with Drew leaving, it's like, okay, this is his time. I feel I really do feel like he's gonna have a good year next year. It's just, I feel like in Tampa he was just out there just, like playing backyard football.
They're just airing it out. And in New Orleans they're gonna try to protect him. That's what they did with Drew. They didn't let him even throw deep downfield. And I think that's kind of what they're going to try to do with Jameis, and just make it where his deep balls are far and few between.
Right.
Unless they just have somebody wide open. But I think his ability to throw deep downfield is going to make defenses make sure they keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
Because you just grab Thomas and just say, just run straight downfield.
Exactly.
And hopefully you can grab a couple of people and then throw it. Do a little cut across or down the middle.
he's not Drew Brees, like Drew Brees is like his last few years, it was very vanilla, very 15 yards, 20 yards here. But Jameis would definitely, throw it deep. And I feel like they're going to unlock that because, it's almost like, with the Mavs with Dirk, it's like, okay, he's obviously not a starter, but we're going to start him because of everything he's done for us.
Yeah.
So it's like, Drew Brees gave him a Super Bowl, he's broken almost every record as far as passing. So
yeah, they're going to let him decide when he wants to walk away.
Exactly. We're going to let you phase yourself out, and then we'll go from there. Like, cause Dirk, his last 2 years or whatever, 3 years, he was an NBA starter. But it's Dirk, and he's the Mavs, just like Drew Brees is the Saints. So you got to let them phase themselves out and then, just go from there. So I think that's what they did. But now that he's gone, it's like, okay, we obviously know Jameis isn't afraid to throw it downfield because he's going to throw it wherever. So, okay, we're going to, let him do what he does, and we're going to go from there. So I feel like he's going to have a great year.
Yeah, and you just have to, again, put it in the perspective of fantasy football. And we're talking about Jameis Winston throwing a lot of interceptions. I know you lose fantasy points when your quarterback throws interceptions, but for as many yards and touchdowns as he throws, I think it evens out where, of course, he's not going to be the top, or even one of the few top quarterbacks, but he's not a bad quarterback to have on your roster. I mean, I know one year, it wasn't the last few years of Eli Manning's career, but I had Eli Manning as my quarterback pretty much the entire year, and he took me all the way to a championship, one of the few championships I've won, had right. Eli Manning as a quarterback.
Wow. Yeah. What year was that? I know I remember Eli having a pretty good year.
And it wasn't even that he had a good year. Probably for Eli Manning, it was a good year.
Yeah, for Eli
Manning. Man, I don't even remember, but it was 6 or 7 years ago. It was a while ago. It wasn't when he was struggling the last couple of years, when he was having more interceptions and touchdowns. But
probably right before he
definitely an Odell Beckham Jr. still on the team. One of those years.
Yeah, I've never been an Eli Manning fan because, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan. So it's like I've always hated him. I've always hated, like, you know, like Donovan McNabb. But I've always respected Eli because, I mean, I always felt like when it really mattered, he kind of turned it up a little bit. You know, even though, like, his last 5 or 6 years, he wasn't that. But I'm, you know, like, as far as, like, whenever he got in the playoffs, he always, like, it was always, okay, he always, you know, made the plays, he always won the game. So I'm like, okay, like, you know, I respect that.
Yeah, and I don't have Eli Manning stats just off the top of my head, but I can only imagine that his playoff record is outstanding because it seemed they've only went to the playoffs a few times, and two of those times they went on and won the Super Bowl. And he's not... I wouldn't say I dislike him. It's hard. Like, if he played for any other team that wasn't outside the NFC East, he'd probably just kind of, you know, be there. And I don't think, I definitely don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think he will get into the Hall of Fame because he has a couple of rings, I guess, as it should be. I mean, not only does he have those rings, but he had those outrageous throws. So yeah, those alone could put him in the Hall of Fame, I think.
He has the iconic plays to, you know what I mean, to just get him in there. His stats are very, like, just mediocre. But
yeah, I think he's career, I think he's 500 wins and losses, or he may be one game under 500
he's
total.
Either I think he's probably 500 or maybe one over or maybe one under, but it's like.
His touchdown to interception ratio is terrible, too. I mean, for considering him as a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He's led the league in interceptions like 2 or 3 years. So, I feel like he'll get into the Hall of Fame only because I feel like he's a Manning. Mm-hmm. I feel like he has 2 rings against the greatest football player of all time.
He took down the greatest team, undefeated Patriots.
Yeah,
which that's why I have a friend who's a huge Dolphins fan, and he loves Eli Manning only because of that, because he hates the Patriots, because he beat the Patriots twice.
Yeah, I feel like every AFC East fan should hate the Patriots because, I mean, they ran the division for 19, 20 years. So, you know, the Cowboys are in NFC East, and it's kind of different because, you know, I hate all the teams equally. So,
it's like
I don't really. I feel like if I were to choose which one I dislike the most, it would probably be the Giants, because I feel like we've gotten the better of the Eagles in the playoffs in recent memory. But
no, absolutely. That's how I kind of figure it. I don't dislike the Redskins that much because they've been bad for so long. They've only made the playoffs a couple of times, except for the last couple, last year when Dak was down.
Right.
They had beaten the Redskins. I think Dak had lost one time against the Redskins, and they had blown them out in the last game of the season a couple of years ago. And it's like, I dislike them, of course. But, of course, the Eagles just won a Super Bowl. And I think it's more like, okay, it's fun in games. Like, it's a fun little rivalry, but... Then you look at things that the Eagles fans do and just how terrible they seem like they are. And I know that doesn't speak for everybody. I know people who know me and find out I'm a Cowboys fan, like, you're such a nice guy for a Cowboys fan. Cowboys fans aren't douchebags or anything. I mean, some are, in general. It's the loud ones that make it worse. But yeah, just hearing Eagles fans, to me in general, if you're listening to this and you're an Eagles fan, I guess I apologize. I don't even know if I should, but it just seems in general, they're so obnoxious sometimes, and I can have fun with it. There's a guy at work, a guy I used to work with who was a huge Giants fan, and he used to live in New York. So it's not like, okay, I hate the Cowboys, so I'm going to go for a team that they dislike. But we had legit conversations. It wasn't just like, okay, Romo sucks. Like, no, he knew Romo was a good quarterback, but he was injury prone. And you know, he kept it real. He wasn't just trash talking. And I understand that the regional part is why a lot of Cowboys fans are hated, because mm-hmm. there's the bandwagon or fake Cowboys fans. My younger brother lived in the D.C. area for a year, and he said there's more Cowboys fans there than there are Redskins fans. And I see it here. Like, there's a lot of people who grew up here that are Eagles or Giants or Redskins fans. They're like, why are you? It's just because they hate the Cowboys so much. They picked a team that, and so when you get teams like that, or fans like that, it can get really obnoxious. But you know, I think it's fun. I like the trash talking. I compare it to politics. I'm like, why can't politics be like this? Why can't we trash talk and just be friends? You know, like
right.
If you're going to compare two teams hating each other to Republican and Democrat, I think Eagles and Cowboys fans are right there as close as it gets. Because I know people who legitimately hate somebody because they're an Eagles fan or a Cowboys fan or whatever. And like in general, I'm like, that's what politics should be like.
Yeah.
Well, I guess people who are following politics themselves should be serious. But we're like, oh, yeah, you're Republican. You believe that. Okay. Hey, yeah, that's not right. And, you know, trash talking and then it's over. But unfortunately, that's not how it goes.
Yeah. It's a thin line, especially when it comes to the NFCs. Like, especially for me, you know, I know there have probably been, you know, the Cowboys fans that are way, because I'm not like one of those, you know, the Cowboys fan is in the general masses is, okay, you know, we're going to win the Super Bowl every year. And I'm not like that, but it's, I always feel like we have the talent to. But I'm never the vocal like, okay, we're gonna win the Super Bowl every year. So it's like, you know,
it feels like that. Like, I understand. I'm blinded, but I have my Homer blinders on, and whatever my expectations are probably just above where they should be, right. In general. But it seems at least every year in the Romo era, and the last few years, it's like, well, if we can stay healthy, why can't we? You know, outside of the Patriots going 16-0 and going all the way to the Super Bowl, typically when a team wins, it's like, okay, well, we beat a couple of the teams that are in the playoffs that are right there, or we were really close to beating them. Like, we can compete. It's not crazy to think we're going to win the Super Bowl, but that's what their expectations are. That's why I think it's okay to be a little arrogant when you're the Cowboys, although we haven't won anything in a while, but it's up there. It's like the Yankees. It's, you know,
right.
That's the status it's on. And looking back, I was, you know, I didn't like watching the Eagles win the Super Bowl. That was probably the only time I've ever cheered for Tom Brady.
I don't even want to think about that.
But looking back, I like, okay, they got one. Now we have one of the best. I like to look at it as one of the best, I mean, obviously not this year or last year, but overall the most iconic divisions with ever, because we're the only division that everyone's won a Super Bowl.
I say that a lot, because like, especially like since, I forgot what year it was, but like, it was, I don't know if it was the last 10 or 15 years, but it's the Super Bowl that's won the most Super Bowls. Because I know the Giants have won two. The Eagles won one.
Yeah, the Redskins haven't won one since before the Cowboys won.
Yeah, Doug. Yeah, with Doug.
But, yeah, they suck this year, and they probably will for a couple of years, the division as a whole. But I remember when we were looking at the NFC West, it's terrible. Like the Rams, when they were in St. Louis, and the Seahawks were terrible teams. They were terrible teams. And the 49ers were kind of there. Cardinals, that's when the Cardinals had Kurt Warner, and they were decent. They made it to the Super Bowl that year. They weren't a great team. But that was the I think in that era when the Seahawks made the playoffs because they won the division at 7-9 or something. Mm-hmm. And that's what we just were kicking at. Now it's one of the better divisions in football. Like, I can see any of those teams winning the division.
The NFC West, right?
Yeah, the NFC West. I mean, who's the worst team? I think the 49ers may be the worst team in that division, but I could see them making the playoffs.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't want to say it, you know, but I feel like that's the best division in the NFL. Because I feel like all four of those teams are, they're really good. They're really good. Even the 49ers, I feel like the 49ers are better than, you know, like, let's go, like, what teams, you know, what divisions are there? Like, I'm not going to say the AFC West because, you know, they have the Chiefs. But
AFC, you know, like, East isn't as strong as it normally is. I know the Patriots are going to be back a little bit because the Patriots had a few players, good players, opt out last year because of COVID. So they weren't at full strength. The Dolphins are there. The Bills. Okay, maybe the AFC East is a pretty decent. Outside the Jets, I think the Patriots might be a team that can make the playoffs. But
I feel like top to bottom, I really do feel like the NFC West is probably the best division, like, just top to bottom, because, you know, every division has, like, one team where it's like they're not gonna do anything, but, like, I feel like every team in NFC West, even, like, I mean, the 49ers, they're not bad. Like, they can go to another division and probably compete or win it. So it's like, I don't really think the NFC East is as bad as everyone's thinking it is. It's probably because the Cowboys are in it. But I don't think it's like that horrible, because I feel like the Giants, they reloaded. They have, you know, a really good offense. They have some, you know, added some offensive players. The Eagles are, you know, they're going to be all right. Cowboys have, I think they have the best probably skill group in the league.
Oh, they got it.
Other than Tampa.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous how talented the Cowboys are. I mean, if they could just have an okay defense, like, give me middle of the road, 15th best defense in the league. They're, and of course, Dak staying healthy, they've got to be one of the top teams in the NFC. You got to think.
Yeah.
And I'm drafting Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick. That's a good pick.
The 89th pick.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick at all.
I was holding out for Justin Herbert. He was my wild card. I thought he might, but someone snatched him a couple of picks ago. But if we're talking, but I guess every team's like that outside of maybe Jacksonville and Houston teams this year, is if we just stay healthy and everything kind of goes okay, best case scenario, we should compete. But talking about Jacksonville and Houston, okay, that may be the worst division, is the AFC South. I mean, the Titans are pretty decent. They have all this COVID stuff going on. The Colts are down to their third-string quarterback. But it was going to be an intriguing division. I mean, right. Trevor Lawrence, what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson? We thought Carson Wentz, you know, is he going to make a comeback? But he got hurt. And then the Titans, you know, how long is Ryan Tannehill gonna be able to do that magic? Like,
yeah,
he was an average quarterback for years, and then all of a sudden he's one of the better ones.
I think I still think Ryan Tannehill's kind of average, but I mean
if you have Derrick Henry as your running back, it's not gonna hurt.
When you got Derrick Henry as your running back, and you just got Julio Jones, and you have, you know, AJ Brown as, you know, the second wideout.
I forgot about Julio Jones is there now.
Yeah, so it's,
ah, man, the Titans should win that division pretty handily.
Yeah, easily. I feel like they should easily win that. You know, it's, I just, you know, like, I feel like, I just, I you know, I, maybe I'm being biased. I just don't feel like the NFC East is all that horrible. But
this week, I thought he came out much
I'm not really blocked. Sure. Like, you know, like, it's just one of those things. It's just one of those things where, you know, like, it's, you just never know. You just gotta wait for all the teams to be healthy, and then, you know, just go from there. So
yeah, part of me is hoping the NFC East is as bad as it normally is, because the Cowboys are favored in it. But you know, as much as I'd love to relax after halftime of a Cowboys game because they're up by 20 points, games like that are fun. And then I can just chill, like, yeah, we're winning. And but you like those close games, is uncomfortable as they are in the moment. Like, after the fact, like, I'm a huge Longhorns fan. And thinking back, there you go. Thinking back when they beat USC in the national championship, it's just great. Like, I was there, or I wasn't there, but I was watching it. I remember the feeling I was going through. I remember where I was watching it. But at the time, I can only imagine how gut-wrenching, because I'm sitting here watching this, you know, I'll watch a replay of it or whatever. I'm like, man, they were down by a lot and came back, and out of nowhere, like, I'm thinking, I know what's happening, but like, how tough was this for me to watch with all the little, like, going for it on fourth down, yeah, and then get, you know, stopping USC on fourth down,
stopping Lindell White. How great was he? He was amazing. Like, I was just talking about this to my friend, like, last week or the week before. I was like, Lindell White was, I literally hated him for a little bit because he was just doing everything. He was getting first downs. He was breaking tackles. I was like, where did he even come from? Because Reggie Bush, he had a couple of great plays, but then, you know, he had that fumble, and then, yeah, you know, I was, you know, but Lindell White was really carrying them. But, you know, I think that's the greatest college football game ever. But, you know, I guess I'm kind of biased, but, you know, I feel like that's one of the, because it had everything. It literally had everything.
Yeah, and we need to have you back on for a different episode talking about, I think we need to do one about some of the greatest college quarterbacks to not make it in the NFL. Just recently, that's why I'm thinking Trevor Lawrence, like, as much as they're on him, I'm just thinking, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a scout. They're saying it's completely different with him, but then they said so much about Vince Young and Johnny Manziel and so few quarterbacks. I mean, look at Jameis Winston. I mean, he's at least, you know, stayed in the league and been decent. Cam Newton's actually had been an MVP, but there's so many quarterbacks that are so good at the college level. And I understand it's different, but how can you be so good and then get to the NFL? It's, you know, Vince Young had a little bit of success his rookie year.
Yeah.
But like Johnny Manziel just couldn't get it going. RG3 had success, and I guess he got hurt, but man, that's a whole nother show topic right there.
Yeah. I probably could name like 10. Like,
just off the top of your head, recently, like, if we were to do research, it would be ridiculous, and, you know, figure out why it didn't work.
Yeah, like, you know, I wouldn't call Colt McCoy a failure because he's still in the NFL, but I mean, he broke the record.
Yeah,
for completion percentage. You know what I mean?
But he wasn't. I mean, maybe he didn't live up to expectations, but he wasn't the lightning player like that. It's like he was the bus driver. He did what he needed to do.
He was preceding Vince Young. So, you know, that's kind of a hard act to follow. You know,
I mean, he's still in the league. He's a career backup, but. Exactly. You know, he's one of the better backup quarterbacks. If you just rank backup quarterbacks,
he's definitely one of the top. But I mean, I always say this. It's rare that you find a quarterback that comes to the NFL that went to a powerhouse college and comes to the NFL and is, you know, like a really great player. Because I feel like most great quarterbacks went to non-traditional powerhouse football teams. You know, Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady went to Michigan. I don't really remember them ever winning a championship.
No, and he wasn't, like, lights out quarterback either. I mean, he went in the sixth round. Nobody thought he was a lights out quarterback. But I mean, like you have Baker Mayfield. He's having a pretty good career. We'll see. We'll see how that turns out. He's got weapons.
OU had a really great, you know, past 3 years, 4 years. So, you know, I give them that. But, you know, I don't really, as far as, because, you know, like in college, if you're on a great team, you're surrounded by great players, obviously. So, if you're, you know, number one, number two in the nation, you're surrounded by players that are going to play in the NFL. But if you're, you know, Zach Wilson at BYU, and you're putting up numbers, and you're like, okay, maybe, and you know, like, and your skill positions, your guys you're throwing to, they're not gonna be like great players in the NFL, or they might get a tryout or whatever, but they're not like first round, second round, like Justin Fields guys are. So it's kind of different, and I always been partial to, you know, quarterbacks that have not come out, you know, like SEC or Big 12 or something like that. So, you know, it's different.
Yeah. That's actually, I think, is a pretty good show topic that we could really talk about. Yeah, whenever I have that one, you are definitely going to be back on here.
Oh, yeah. I would.
Talking biggest QB draft busts of all time or something like that.
Yeah, I would definitely do that, yeah, because it's a lot, because I mean, college and the pros are so different, and it's almost like I don't really know what the pros are looking for as far as like quarterback, because you know, like it was a point in time where all the pros were looking for was a 6'5" quarterback, and
yeah, who could run.
Yeah, who 6'5" quarterback, you know, pocket passer who could probably, you know, get mobile a little bit. Now it's Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, you know, they saw what Drew Brees was in the league, and they tried to plant that whole, oh, you know, they can't see over the line thing, but stats show that shorter quarterbacks don't really get the ball batted like that. You know, it's just a stat. So now they're like, okay, why have we been penalizing these guys for years about being short and being quarterbacks when they can really play?
Like, what else do they have? Like, if they're short, but they have other intangibles that aren't that great either, sure, that hurts them. I'm fine with short hurting them, but when you're Drew Brees, it's it's like, okay, yeah, he's a great quarterback, but he's only 6 foot or 5'11". Right. Like, I think he could, can he play or can he play, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think that is about all the time we have for this episode.
Okay.
Chris, I appreciate you being on.
We'll
definitely have you on again.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. And it's definitely a fun episode. I'm looking forward to the next one.
All right.